We're going to start from Yoredesim and Reish Samach. Most of the dinam of Bris Mila appear in Masech HaShabbos. There were 24 prokim in Masech HaShabbos. There's a whole parak called Rav Lezer de Mila. Then in second half of Yevamos, there's a parak of Oril. So the beginning of the parak, there are a few dinam over there. Then in Avodah Zarah, there's a little bit. Then in Psachim, there's a line. These are all crucial gemaras. So we'll discuss all of these. The mitzvah of Mila was originally given to Avraham Avinu, but the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnayos in Chulin in Perek Kidanosha that no Navi other than Moshe Rabbeinu was given the dinim that are binding the Doris. Avraham Avinu was given the mitzvah of Mila. At that time it was only Haru Ashur. And Yaakov Avinu was given the mitzvah of Kidanosha. It was only Haru Ashur. It's only binding today because it was repeated to Moshe Rabbeinu with the rest of the Torah. So we today, we say a bracha lachnisa v'bisa shal Avraham Avinu, but the chiyuv to do the bris mila is not because of the nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu, but not because of the nevuah of Avraham Avinu, but rather because of nevuah Moshe Rabbeinu. Now the Gemara in Yevamos and Perek Ha'Oriel, beginning of Perek Ha'Oriel, the Gemara quotes the pasuk in the beginning of Sefer Yoshua, when they crossed over the Yarden and they arrived in Gilgal, so then they did a national bris milah. There was a national bris milah before Korban Pesach Mitzrayim. Then for 40 years, only Shevet Levi was mekayim the mitzvah milah. The rest of the Shvatim were concerned that the weather conditions in the midwar were such that it was a slight suffix sakana for the baby, so the other Shvatim didn't do bris milah, only Shevet Levi. And we mentioned recently that the Chasam Sefer has a tshuva where he raises a very strong question. They had an Orthodox rabbi, Moshe Rabbeinu. So what did Moshe Rabbeinu have to say about this? If Shevet Levi was right, then he should have told the other Shvatim they have to all perform bris milah. And if the other Shvatim are right, should have told Shevet Levi they're not allowed to perform bris milah because it's hafik sakana. How come he lets everybody do whatever they want? What's the din in such a case? So the Chasam Sefer gives a complicated answer, but the pashtus is that the Gemara in Ksubas and other Masechta Yevamos, the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Tehillim. Shomer Psayim Hashem, Taloy Sibili Hoshia from Allah. Shomer Psayim Hashem, the Gemara applies to a situation where there's a suffix. Rab Chaim Moshe has a tshuva in Achiezer, where he quotes classical poskim, we'll say it like this. If you have a situation where there's a suffix sakana that's very far from 50-50, nowhere near 50-50, so then are you mechuyav to worry about it? So the Gemara says in the end of the first parak in Ksubas, you have no right to say, let's say the fellow is so deathly sick on Shabbos, he's going to die anyway, even if we drive him to the hospital. So why should we be Mechal Shabbos? There's a very slim chance that he's going to survive. Or why should we drive him to the hospital? He's not going to be Sakana. Bankrupt. There's a very slight chance that he's going to die if we don't drive him today. The likelihood is that there's no need to be Mechal Shabbos. We can drive him to the hospital after Havdalah tonight. So the Gemara says you're not allowed to go Basar Reif. Not to say we're not allowed to drive him to the hospital because he's going to die anyway. And not to say we're not going to drive him to the hospital because he doesn't need any Chil Shabbos. He can wait till tonight. You have to be Choshish for the Miut. So that's what Rabbi Chaim Moshe quotes a whole bunch of classical poskim who say that depends on the Chayla. If the Chayla is nervous, and the Chayla thinks that this may save his life, then it's called the Suffix Sakana. And if the Chayla is not nervous, then you say Shamei Psoim Hashem, that it's not called the Suffix Sakana. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a different understanding. I don't know what it is. Rav Moshe wrote a tshuva about smoking, that you say Shamei Psoim Hashem, that the people will smoke, even though there may be a Suffix Sakana, they're allowed to smoke because Shamei Psoim Hashem. But then the Surgeon General of the United States ascertained that it's a real sakana. It's a real sakana. So Moshe wrote a second tshuva. Even though it's a badai sakana, it's still a say Shem Epsayim Hashem. And don't tell me it makes a difference what the percentage is. I don't understand why don't tell me. I don't know. So Rabbi Moses says, he quotes a whole bunch of classical poskim and say it like that. It's talking about the suffix sakana that's nowhere near 50-50. So then it depends on the choyla. What if the choyla is an 8-day-old child? He doesn't know anything. He doesn't understand what's happening. So the pashtus is that it depends on the parents. The parents are responsible for the good health of their child. So whoever is responsible for the health, if he's nervous, then it's called the suffix sakana. If he's not nervous, then it's not called the suffix sakana. So that's the pashtus in this story. The Shevet Levi was not nervous. They had bitochen. They wanted to do the mitzvah, and they weren't concerned about the suffix sakana. The rest of the Shvatim were nervous about the suffix sakana. So they were all right. Everybody was doing their right did. For the one who's nervous, it's called the suffix sakana. For the one who's not nervous, it's not called the suffix sakana. This is all provided that it's nowhere near 50-50, which it wasn't. The weather conditions were slightly problematic, and there was a slight chashash sakana. So that depends on the choyla, whether the choyla is nervous or not. There's such a psak from the Chazon Ish. I think we just spoke about it recently. There's such a psak from the Chazon Ish. In the middle of the Second World War, the Nazis wanted to control Palestine because Palestine is centrally located. It's the link between the three continents, Europe, Asia, and Africa. Whoever controls Palestine has the ability, if you have a big army, to control all the three. So they wanted to control Palestine. So they were dropping bombs there. So they couldn't go drop bombs in the daytime because they would shoot down the planes. And they couldn't, and if you drop bombs at nighttime, they had no radar. And the only way to know where to drop bombs is if you leave the lights on. So whenever the British, the government in Israel at that time, whenever the British heard that they may be a chashad drop bombs, they would run a siren at night, and everybody had to turn out the lights. I was a little boy, a little baby, during the Second World War. So I lived in Pennsylvania at that time, so the Nazis were nowhere near America, but they used to, the American government would, for practice, they would run a siren at night, and everyone had to close the lights. And it was only practice, it wasn't the real suffix sakana. If you didn't close the lights, the police would come, they'd give you a penalty. So three times it happened on Shabbos. My father told me three times it happened on Shabbos. So my father explained, he's an Orthodox rabbi, and if the Nazis would really be here, we would certainly turn out the lights. But it's only practice, and we're not allowed to. So once my father got away with it, and they didn't give him a penalty, and twice he had to pay a penalty because he didn't turn the lights out on Shabbos. So the Esther Chazon Ish, Shaila, not every city had the ability to run a siren in Eretz Yisrael. In Palestine at that time, they didn't all have this information. So the Esther Chazon Ish, if there's a little village and they hear from a distance faintly that there's a siren in the other village at night, on Friday night, is that considered a suffix sakana that we should turn out the lights where we live? Or no, it's not enough of a suffix sakana. So the Chazon Ish, this is what they had in the old biography of the Chazon Ish in the Pe'er Ador, the five-volume biography. So the Chazon Ish told over a story that happened with the Chofetz Chaim, that he once spent time, the anti-Semitism was growing greater and greater. Chofetz Chaim died before the Second World War, but the anti-Semitism was growing. So he once spent a few hours in the city Lodz, that's in Poland, an industrial city, and people were lined up to ask him etzes, shailos, recommendations. So two people asked him the exact same shaila, that they're Shomrei Shabbos, and they don't go to work on Shabbos, and they earn much less than they could otherwise earn, and they have no savings whatsoever. And the concern is that if the anti-Semitism gets so terrible that they have to leave, they don't even have any money saved up in a savings account that they'd be able to buy a train ticket to leave to save their lives. So the shaila was, is that considered a suffix sakana that they should take a job to Mimchal Shabbos and put the money in a bank in a savings account in order to save their lives if the situation gets so bad? So they came at two different times, an hour or two apart from each other. So the Chavetz Chaim asked each one the same shaila, do you really think that that may save your life? So the first one said he thinks that it's a joke, but his friends are encouraging him that he should do that. He thinks either he's going to be nitzel or they're going to kill him. He doesn't think that taking a job to Mimcha al Shabbos, putting away money in the bank, he thinks that it's a joke. He thinks it's too far-fetched. So the Chavetz Chaim told him that if you personally don't really think that that's going to save your life, then for you it's not called a Sofik Sakana. And then the other Balabos who asked the exact same Shailet an hour or two later, so he answered yes. He thinks that it's a Cheshme. He thinks that that may possibly save his life. So the Chavetz Chaim told him, if you really think that that may save your life, then for you it's a Sofik Sakana. So that's what the Chazon Ish said over here. He can say, whoever is nervous should turn out the lights, whoever is not nervous should not turn out the lights. So I'm not nervous, I'm going to leave the lights on, and the other guy's going to get killed. He is nervous. So he said, if one person in the village is nervous, everybody's mukhiv to turn out the lights. If no one is nervous, then it's not called a Sofik Sakana, because it's nowhere near 50-50. And if if one person is nervous, then everybody's mukhiv to turn out the lights. So during the Midbar, that's what Moshe Rabbeinu said in the bracha that he gave him, B'zayis HaBracha, about Shevet Levi, Uvrischa Yintzoru, that they observed the mitzvah of Bris Milah during the 40 years of the Midbar, even though the other Shvatim did not observe it. That's how the Gemara says in Yevamos, in Perika Oral. So just like there was a big national Bris Milah before Pesach Mitzrayim, so too there was a national Bris Milah when they crossed over the Yarden and they came to Gilgal. So the weather conditions were not like in the Midbar. So everybody realized now they have to perform Bris Milah. So they did Milah on everybody. So it says, Shuv Malas Bnei Sol Shenis. You have to do some Poshib Shad. You have to do a national Bris Milah for all the people who never had a Bris. So the Gemara in Perek HaOrel, in the end, the second half of Yevamos, Gemara understands, no, Shuv Malas Bnei Sol Shenis. The people who had a Bris Milah, they have to do a second Bris Milah. What do you mean a second Bris Milah? Yeshua ben Nun got a nevuah that from the days of Avraham Avinu till they came to Gilgal, even after Moshe Rabbeinu came along, they only did Milah. And now they have to do Priya. The Eivah HaZachrus has two membranes covering it, so the outer membrane is taka skin, a skin covering. And the lower covering is a thinner membrane. So in the days of Avraham Avinu, till they came to Gilgal, they wanted to have to do Bris Milah, they cut off the Or HaOrla. And now Yeshua ben Nun said, Shuv Malas Bnei Yisrael Shenis, people had a Bris Milah, they have to have more, that they cut off the Or HaPriya as well. They didn't change. We usually have one of the 13 Ikori Hamunah, but the Rambam Zos HaTorah Lossi Mochlefes Lossi Torah Cheres Meis HaBari is Baruch Shmo, that the laws of the Torah are immutable. And if any Navi comes along and he says Rabban Shalom changed his mind, L'chumra, L'kula, so this be Adua, that Navi is a Navi HaSheker. A Navi can say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said as a Hoyru HaShoah, he wants you to stand on your head, he wants you to smoke a cigar on Shabbos, whatever, as a Hoyru HaShoah, but Yeshua ben Nun came and he said, the Rebbe Shalom gave him a nevuah that mikan v'elach, the whole mitzvah changed. You have to do milu upriya, mavloi para, you're not yoytzei. So Tosfos and Yevamos asked that kasha. How did the Bnei Yisrael believe Yeshua ben Nun? They should have given him the death penalty as a Novi HaSheker. He says that in violation of the Ikar and Emunah, that the laws in the Torah never change. So Tosfos says, the Rambam writes this in the Mishnah Torah, that the laws of the Torah never change. the only din that has yet, that's going to change, is instead of having 6 Ori Miklot, Moshe HaMashiach is going to be 9 Ori Miklot. So the Rambam says that's not in violation of the rules of Satar Elohim Mukhlefes, because Moshe Rabbeinu said that. Moshe Rabbeinu has the parsha in Chumash Devarim. Ki Acha V'Shem Achacha is Gevulcha. And then it says, "V'yasafta l'chaot sholoshar mala sholoshar ela." You add another 3 in addition to the 6 Ori Miklot, another 3. So that's not that was all part of the verse Moshe Rabbeinu. The same thing, the dinim of Birchas Hamazon changed. Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Eretz Hashalev miskenes tachal balech mechalta v'savata v'rachta v'sashem alakecha." you have to say Birchas Hamazon. So the Gemara in Brachas says that Moshe Rabbeinu, when the mon came down, it was like Lechem in Hashemayim. So this Moshe Rabbeinu composed the first Brach Hazanas Hakol. The pasuk says V'irachtas Hashem Elokecha. You have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He gave you the bread. Then it says Al Ha'oretz. You have to thank Him also that He gave us Eretz Yisrael HaTayva, that the fact that He gave us Yerushalayim Or HaTayva Zeva Halvona. So the Gemara says when the mon came down, Moshe Rabbeinu composed the first Baruch Hu. When they conquered Eretz Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised Eretz Yisrael to Avraham Avinu. He told him, Kulam B'salach L'Oretz, L'Oroch L'Rochba. He walked around the borders, he was Kaina. But L'maisa B'Pol Mamash, we didn't have it. The Zionists were living there the whole time. So after Yeshua ben Nun conquered all of Eretz Yisrael, then the Gemara says he composed the second Baruch Hu. And then Al Ha'oretz HaToyva, HaToyva refers to Yerushalayim, Hor HaToyva Zeva Halvonayim. So Yerushalayim has a double status. Number one is the capital of Eretz Yisrael Al Pidin, and number two it's a Mokam HaMikdash, Mikdash Melechim Melucha. It's their Melucha, it's the capital city. It's also the Mokam HaMikdash. So when David HaMelech moved his palace, he lived in Hebron. He was king in Hebron for 7 years. Then he was king in Yerushalayim for 33 years. So when he moved to Yerushalayim, then the Gemara says in Brachas, he composed the first half of the third Bracha. We thank him for giving us Yerushalayim as the capital. But he wasn't permitted. He wanted very much, but the Navi told him he's not permitted to build a Beis HaMikdash, Dam Rab Shafachta, and the Beis HaMikdash has to be a Mokum Shalom. He's going to have a son Shlomo, he's going to be an Ish Shalom, he's going to be peaceful during his lifetime, and he has permission to build the Beis HaMikdash. So when Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, then he composed the second half of the third Bracha. We thank him not only for giving us Yerushalayim as the capital, like David HaMelech composed the Nusach, we thank him for giving us the Mokam Yerushalayim as the Mokam HaMikdash also. That's all min HaTorah. So that's not a time that you see that the dinim and the Torah changed. That's the Psukim. Moshe Rabbeinu said over the Psukim, Echalta v'svata b'rach l'shem l'kecha al oretz ha-toyva sh'nasan loch. So you have to thank when you'll get there, it's Israel, when it'll be delivered, when they'll conquer the land there, it's all. Then you have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu over giving them matnas there, it's all. And when they'll establish Yerushalayim as their capital. So that's all included in the words Moshe Rabbeinu. That's not, you're not changing anything. Just like the Rambam said, the only din that has yet to be changed is the Ori Miklat, that says in the Chumash to change. So here, Tosfos asks the kasha, here, Moshe Rabbeinu said the same as Avraham Avinu. All you need is a bris milah, cut off the Or Ha'orlah, then comes Yeshua ben Nun, and changes the din. Mol b'lat par kilaloi mol, you're not yet, so you need priya also. You have to cut off the lower membrane, which is very thin. So Tosfos says in Yevamos, it must have been that it was halacha Moshe Messina. Stama Moshe Rabbeinu must have told them that the day will come that a Navi will come. He didn't know who, he didn't say who. They will come, a Navi will come. A Navi Muchzak, you know that he's a Navi, and he'll tell you that Mikam Alahabo, you have to do Mila and Priya. Okay. When it comes to Halachas L'Moshe Messina, this was. The year that Rav Soloveitchik gave shiur on Yevamos, so he gave shiur three days a week. So he gave a shiur Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Usually in my time, he only gave a shiur Tuesday and Wednesday. And then he changed it Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So in the beginning of the year, he said he's going to give a shiur on Yevamos Tuesday and Wednesday. And then Thursday every week, he's going to give a shiur on Menchas Chinuch. So that only lasted, I think, one of his grandchildren was one, maybe Meir Tversky, maybe Moshe Tversky, one of the Tverskys. Was born, and he wanted to learn the Menchas Chinuch before the Bris. So he gave Shir and Menchas Chinuch a couple of weeks in a row, and then that was it. That was the end of it. So then he continued Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, all 3 days he gave Shir on Yevamos instead of Menchas Chinuch. So the first Shir that he gave on the Menchas Chinuch Mitzvah Smilo was this topic. We have two types of halachas L'Moshe Mesinai. Sometimes you have halacha that's Mechadish and Udin Yesh Meyayin. Let's say Nisach HaMayim on Sukkah. So the different opinions in the Gemara. One opinion is Halacha L'Moshe Messina. There's no Pasuk at all. Other Tanoim say it's not a Halacha L'Moshe Messina. It's a Pasuk, Unisachehu, or Mem Yud Mem. Three different opinions in the Gemara. One opinion is that it's Halacha L'Moshe Messina. I think the Rambam adopts that opinion that Nisach HaMayim is Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, a new separate din. Or what else? Okay, Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. And then sometimes you have Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, it's not Mechadish a new din, it's Halacha HaMefareshes. Take, for example, in the Chumash there's a din, if a person is tummy, has to go to a mikveh and it becomes tor. How much water do you need in the mikveh? So it's Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, they need Memso. But that's not a new din. The Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim is Mefarish what Pshat and the Pasuk is. And there's a difference between the two. For example, the Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvos has a lot of Hasogas on the Rambam. So the Ramban has, the Rambam writes 14 klolim, 14 guiding principles that determine whether any given mitzvah belongs in the Sefer HaMitzvos or not. So the first klal the Rambam has that yet you don't include mitzvahs from the Rabbanon. And the second klal he has that you don't include something that's based on Midrash HaTorah and Nidreshes Bem. So the Ramban understood the Rambam as if he's implying that all the dinim that are established based on Yugim and Midrash HaTorah and Nidreshes Bem, as if they're all Midrash Rabbanon. So just like you don't count dinim the Rabbanon, so you don't include Torah Shebal Peh. So he said, what, that's Apikursus. Torah Shebal Peh is the Raisa, it's not the Rabbanon. He's very upset. So the Pashtus is, we spoke about it on Shavuos, Pashtus, that's not what the Rambam meant. He meant something else. But the Ramban there picks on the Rambam on another thing, that the Rambam holds that Sofik Deraisa L'Chumra only applies on Dinim and the Chumash, and whatever is Halacha L'Moshe Mitzrayim is Sveika L'Kula. So the Ramban says that that's not correct. The Gemara says, Orla B'chutz Lords is halacha, and the Gemara has a machlekes that's in Kiddushin towards the end of the first parak. The Mishnah says mitzvah is barot only apply in Eretz Yisrael, so orlo should really be an agricultural mitzvah, should only apply in Eretz Yisrael. So orlo b'chutz lorot is an exception to the rule. Orlo applies even in chutz lorot halacha. The Gemara has a machlekes samarayim. What do you mean when you say halacha? You mean hilchas medina? It's only midirabbanan, or you mean halacha moshe mesina? So most of the rishonim assume that we assume shulchan aruch. Orla b'chutz lorot, halacha l'moshe mesina. So the Gemara asked Akasha Bishleim, if orla b'chutz lorot on hilchas medina, it's only made the rabbanon. So we understand why the Mishnah is saying maseches orla. The Sofik orla b'chutz lorot says muti. Go to the store and you buy apples, or pears, or oranges, whatever things that grow on the tree. How do you know that it's not? Maybe it's orla. The answer is orla. Sofik orla b'chutz lorot says muta. So the Gemara asks why, if it's halacha moshe mesina, it's a din there, right? And the Gemara says, kach nemar halacha, that's part of the package din of the halacha moshe mesina, that vada is also on sofik is mutter. So the Rambam understood from that Gemara that sofik halacha moshe mesina is always lakula. That's what the Ramban accuses the Rambam of having assumed like that. We don't know exactly where the Rambam is. Where is the Rambam that the Ramban is attacking? So the Ramban doesn't tell you where it is. The Ramban argues with the Rambam and says no, that's a package deal and orla b'chutz lorot, sveika l'kula. Other halacha l'moshe mesina would be sveika l'chumer. Where is this Rambam that the Ramban is attacking? So I never knew for years. So the Ramban never tells you where the Rambam is that he's accusing of saying that sofik halacha l'moshe mesina l'kula. So I have one of the swarm that I lifted from my father's library. Was a Sefer Ara de Rabbanon. It was written in the 1700s by one of the Al-Ghazis. There's a big family, a Sfarish family. Rabbi Yisrael Al-Ghazi. And Ara de Rabbanon is an encyclopedia, goes alphabetically arranged, Allah Beis Gimel. And on every din, let's say, Aleph Asmachta, Asmachta Lokanya, is Asmachta Lokanya, is it a din de Reis, a din de Rabbanon? So he tells you the Marmakaymas, Beis Breira. But he has 35 different paragraphs in every letter, not just one. Brera, yesh brera, ain't brera. What's the din? Is it deraisa? What does it apply to? Dinam deraisa, apply to dinam rabbanon. Every letter of the alphabet, he has every topic, whether it's a din deraisa, din derabbanon. So he has, the name of the sefer is Ara derabbanon. That's an expression in the Gemara, Ara derabbanon. In the Gemara's Lashon, Rabbanon means Talmidim and Yeshiva. Ara de Rabbanon means there was a playground that they had next to the Beis Medrash, so the Talmidim used to play there, or park. that belonged to the yeshiva, Ara de Rabban. And an Al-Ghazi Sefer, Rabbi Yisrael Al-Ghazi Sefer, Ara de Rabban, he's explaining which dinim are the raisa, which are the Rabban. Then he has footnotes on the bottom of the page by the author. The footnotes are called Afra de Ara. So in the Afra de Ara, I think on the Orla B'chutz Lortz, I think he has Halacha Moshe Sinai. So he tells you, where is this Rambam that the Ramban was attacking? That the Rambam seems to imply, or the Rambam says, that Sofik Halacha Moshe Sinai is always Lakula. Ramban thinks that it's a mistake. It's only Orla B'chutz Lortz. Every other Halacha Moshe Sinai, not so. So he says, if you look on the Rambam in Hilchas Mikvois, the Rambam quotes a Mishnah. It's a person was Tom and he was Tovel in a mikveh, and it's a suffix whether the mikveh had memso or not. So the Mishnah says he has to be Tovel again. The Igola Chumra. So the Rambam in Hilchas Mikvois, when he quotes that Mishnah, implies a kasha. He doesn't say v'im toima v'yeshleima, but he implies a kasha and he gives a teretz. Yes, the kasha, but the whole din of memso is only Halacha Moshe Sinai. It's not beferish in the pasuk. So why don't you say sofek Halacha Moshe Sinai lekula? So the Rambam answers there are two different kinds of Halacha Moshe Sinai. If you have Halacha Moshe Sinai, let's say orla b'chutz la'aretz, and the Chumash only talks about orla b'eretz Yisrael, kisavoy al haaretz and parshas kedoshim, kisavoy al haaretz and taita mikolat tzmach v'araltam alasa. The Chumash only talks about Orla Beretzol. Orla B'chutz Lortz is Halacha HaMechadeshes. It's a brand new din, Yesh Me'ayin. It's not based on the Pasuk at all. So there, the Rambam says, if it's a separate Halacha Moshe Sinai, then the din is that you go Lekula. Every Safek Halacha, you go Lekula. But Mem Sof for a mikveh is just a Halacha that's Mefarish Pshat in the Pasuk. It says, Bamayim Yuva. It says he should be toivel in the mikveh. How much water do you need in the mikveh? There's not a new halacha Moshe Messina that we. The pasuk says you have to be toivel in the mikveh. The halacha comes to explain what pshat in the pasuk is, to interpret the pasuk that the mikveh has to have a minimum of memso. So that halacha mefareshes that you treat like Torah Shebichzav, and there you say that sofik halacha Moshe Messina is lechumra. If it'll be Halacha HaMechadeshes, then you would say Safek Halacha Moshe Messina would be Lekulam. So that's famous. Rab Chaim has that. Rab Chaim points out the Rambam quotes the Shitas HaGaonim that one who eats Orla V'chutz La'aretz is Loike. So the Rambam says, how can it be? It's Halacha Moshe Messina. You only get Malkus. What's the rule? You only get Malkus if you violate a lab. That's Dumid Alav Dachasima. Because in Chumash Dvarim only we darshan smuchim. If you have two dinim in the same pasuk, that's called a hekesh. So that's in kol tarkuli darshan hekesh. But if you have two dinim in two adjacent psukim, so that's called smuchim. So do your darshan smuchim in kol tarkula is a machlekes hatanoim in the beginning of Yevamos. So the Gemara's maskana halacha lemaisa is only a chumish devarim. A mishnah tari darshan smuchim. Gemara gives two explanations why, and the rest of the chumashim yiron. So there are many, 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 many very famous halachas that are based on smuchim and mishnah Torah. And one of the many halachas is the whole perik, the third perik in Malkus, Elohein Aloikin. Who gets Malkus? It says, V'hayon bin hakois harasha, v'hipil al-shav v'kol afonik nebishasa v'mispar. If a person did an avera, he gets Malkus. What avera should he do? So the next pasuk says, v'atzachsam shav v'disha. So in Chumash Dvar, midarshan smuchim, one who does an avera that's dumid alav dachasima l'sachsim shabedishai is loike. So it has to be dumid alav dachasima the way it's written in the Chumash. Loi sachsim shabedishai has to say lo, or has to say hisham pen v'al. If it's alav abom echlal, I'll say it doesn't say loi pen hisham al. Doesn't have one of those foolish shyness. It's alav abom echlal, I'll say you don't get malchus. Not dumid alav dachasima. That's similar to l'sachsim shabedishai the way it appears in the Chumash. What has to be similar to the Salsam Shabbatish and the nature of the Avera? Let's say it's a lav anita glass, a lav shema maisa, a lav shenit lansaras misas bezin. If it's a different kind of a lav, it's not dumid, has to be dumid the lav dachasim, and the nature of the Avera has to be dumid the lav dachasim, the way it's written in the Chumash. What if you have a din, it's only known through halacha Moshe Messina? That's not dumid the lav dachasim, the way it's written in the Chumash. It's not written in the Chumash, only known through halacha Moshe Messina. So the Rambam attacks the Goyim. Why do they say that one who eats Orla B'chutz L'Oretz is like, how can it be? But Orla B'chutz L'Oretz is only Halacha Moshe Messina. So Rab Chaim Soloveitchik and his Sefer on the Rambam has a biur in the Machlokes, the Rambam of God, he said, this is exactly the Machlokes, is Orla B'chutz L'Oretz is Halacha HaMechadeshes, and do din yesh me'ayin. Even on the Chumash, it only talks about Orla B'Eretz Yisrael, Kisavel Horetz, and the title called it Smachavar Altam Alosoi, but the Halacha Moshe Messina has a new din that Orla applies even in Chutz L'Oretz. And the Goyim hold that it's not so. It's Halacha HaMefareshes. The Halacha Moshe Messina tells you how to translate the words in the Chumash. Kisavel Horetz is not describing the Mokum Nihu Gam Mitzvah, it's rather describing the Zman Nihu Gam Mitzvah. The Mitzvah of Orla applies all over the world. But in the days of Mabin HaSinai, till they conquered Eretz Yisrael, the mitzvah didn't apply. Kisavayel Horus is the Zman, Niyuk HaMitzvah. Only after they enter Eretz, so then the Din of Arla will apply where? All over the world, even in Chutz L'Oretz. It comes out that after you have the Halacha Moshe Messinai, all of Chutz L'Oretz is Beferish in the Pasuk. The Halacha Moshe Messinai is being Beferish. It's translating the words differently from the normal way, Kisavayel Horus. You would think that that's the Mokam Niyuga Mitzvah. Now the Halacha Moshe Messinai reinterprets it. So that's basically, that's what Chaim points out. There are two types of Halacha Moshe Messinai. There's Halacha HaMechadeshes, a brand new din. A brand new din is not Dumid Alav Dachasim, so you're not like it. What if it's Halacha HaMefareshes, that this is Pshat Nechumish, then it comes out after the Halacha Moshe Messinai, that's Pshat in the Pasuk. And that's also the difference. When you get to what the Rambam, what the Afra the Arab, the footnote of the Sefer Arad the Rabbanon, what he said, pshat in that line in the Rambam in Hilchas Mikvah, that the Rambam quotes the Mishnah that if a person was tummy his tovel in a mikvah, it's a suffix whether they had memsah or not. So you go lechumra. The Rambam was implying akasha, but memsah is only halacha moshe mesina. So you should say suffix lekula. The Rambam thinks every suffix halacha moshe mesina lekula. That's the Rambam that the Ramban was attacking. Ramban doesn't tell you which Rambam. He just said the Rambam, he accuses the Rambam of saying like that, but he doesn't say where. So the Afra, the Arar writes that that's the Rambam in Hilchas Mikvah. So the Rambam asked that kasha. And he answered, if it would have been a halacha l'moshe mesina, a brand new din, halacha amchadeshes, these were the terminology thereof. So the Reichik formulated. If it would be a new halacha l'moshe mesina, then you would have said sveika l'kula. But it's halacha amifareshes. It's explaining what does it mean a mikveh. Rochatz b'mayim is called besara. So that's what the first shiur Rav Soloveitchik gave on the Minchas Chinuch HaMitzvah Smila was. He quoted, he's a descendant from the Netziv. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik married the granddaughter of the Netziv. Rav Soloveitchik was a grandson of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. So he used to quote the Netziv once in a while. The Netziv basically was an outsider. He was not a descendant of Rav Chaim Volozhin. He married into the family, and he didn't have Rav Chaim's Derech Halima. So they didn't think so highly of his chidush. If you look at the shiurim, the Netziv shiurim are totally different from Rav Chaim's. We don't understand how the yeshiva functioned. Those Talmidim who wrote memoirs, they write that Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, the Netziv gave shiur every day, approximately covered a blot gemara. Then Rav Chaim said Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, approximately the blot gemara every day, and then Shabbos they chazed the six blot. Then the next week they went weiter. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, the Netziv said shiur on the three blot, and then Rav Chaim said shiur Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. How did it blend in? So there were some students like Rav Cook. He only went to the Netziv shiur. He didn't like Rav Chaim shiur. He thought Rav Chaim is making up new things and it doesn't say in the gemara. And others only liked Rav Chaim shiur. They didn't go to Netziv shiur. Most of them attended both shiur. I don't know how it blended in. I don't know. So, once in a while, the Netziv has an idea that the Soloveitchiks will adopt. Most of the time, not. Most of the time, it's the old style. Once in a while. So, the Netziv has an Meshit Dover in the collection of Tshuvas. He has a Shaila. The Moel performed the Bris Milah, and then he realized that he didn't do the Priya. He thought that he did the Priya. He didn't do a good job. So he only did the Mila, he didn't do the Priya. So the din is that you're not Yotze. That's a Mishnah Mol Vala Parakilu Lai Mol. You're not Yotze. After Yeshua Benun was given the din, Shul Malos Menei Sol Shenis, you have to do Priya. So now he has a Sofik, the Netziv has a Sofik, that The next day, when the Moel realizes he has to cut off the Or HaPriya, does he say a bracha shekadishana b'mitzvayso tzivano al HaPriya? If you do a mila b'zmani, just say a bracha al HaMila. It's like an ikar and a tofel. The ikar is what it says to Avraham Avinu to do mila, and then the tofel is to add on the priya as well. You don't have to say two brachas. But here, the first time he did it, Bismana, the Moel did by mistake, he only did a mila, he didn't cut enough of the Or HaPriya. So the second day, should he say Asher Kadoshon B'tzal Salano Al HaPriya, or should he say Al HaMila? What's the Rav Soloveitchik explained, that Netziv doesn't exactly say this 100%, but this is how Rav Soloveitchik explained this suffix. What's the nature of this Halacha L'Moshe Messina? The Tosis in Yavam says, how could they believe Yeshua Ben Nun? They should have assumed he's in Ovi HaSheker. He's changing the din and the Chumash, and the Chumash doesn't say that a day will come, not like the three Ori Miklot says, a day will come and they're going to change. And the Chumash, it says, you have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu over the food, over Eretz Yisrael, and over Yerushalayim. So it says, when Yeshua Ben Nun conquered Eretz, so they had to add on to the fulfill the mitzvah. And then when Dovid HaMelech established Yerushalayim as the capital, they had to add on the next bracha. And then when Shlomo HaMelech built the first place, they had on the second half of the third bracha. So here, by Mila and Priya doesn't say, so Taisus says there in Perika Oral and Yavamas, that must have been Halacha L'Moshe Messina. So the question is, what's the nature of this Halacha L'Moshe Messina? Is it that now we reinterpret Mikana L'Haba after the days of Gilgal, when they had the national Bris Mila, Shumalas B'nei Sol Shenis? So now the definition, if you cut off only the Or HaOrla, the thick skin, you didn't cut off the thinner membrane, so then the Atara, the Gid, is still Mechusa. So Mila, the Bris Mila, from the days of Avraham Avinu till the days of Yeshua Ben Nun, Mila meant to cut off the Or HaOrla. But the Gid is still Mechusa, but the Or HaPriya, the lower, thinner membrane. So now the Halacha Moshe Messina says that the definition of Mila means to be Megala the Atara, it should be exposed. So from now on, that's called Mila. So you should say, Bracha Ala Mila. Or do you say, no, it's Halacha HaMechadeshes. Until now, they didn't only require to cut off the Orla, now you have to cut off the Rapriya also. But it's not that now you're redefining what Mila means. So then you should say, Bracha Ala Priya. You shouldn't say, Bracha Ala Mila. So that's the suffix that that's Rav Soloveitchik thought that was the nature of the suffix that that the Netziv raised. If you didn't do the Priya and then you do it later, you probably have to say a bracha. They say the bracha ala mila, or they say the bracha ala priya. The first Mishnah in Krisus lists off Lamed Vav Krisus Hamuz Batorah. There are 36 averes for which a person is chayv kares. 34 out of the 36 have a lois asay. So therefore, if you violated the 34 b'shoigeg, you would be chayv to bring a chatos. Kol shezdan a kares, is shegigos a chatos. If you would have violated the aver b'mezit, you would have been chayv kares. So if you violate the aver b'shoigeg, you're chayv a chatos. And two, Pesach Hamila, there's no chatos because it's only a mitzvah saseh. There is no lois saseh. So there is a pirush hamishnayis laharambam and makis on the beginning of Perek Elohein Aloikin, where the Rambam gives you a whole introduction to the lavim and the Torah and the malkis and so on. So the Rambam has a line there. Most of us don't sit and read the Pirush HaMishnah Rambam, but the Lecha Mishnah read it, so he points out there's a problematic Rambam. So the Lecha Mishnah points out, the Rambam says, whenever there's Kares, be Yadua that there's a Lav. So this is a problem. You have Pesach Hamila, the Mishnah says, there's Kares. It says in Chumash there's Kares, and it says Beferish that there is no Lav. It's only an essay. That's why the Mishnah says, if he violated the din, b'shoigeg, he's not chayv to bring a chata. You only bring a chata so if you violated a lois essay. You only violated an essay, so there's no din. So there's no chiv chata. So how can the Rambam say that whenever this curse, there's a lav? You have Pesach HaMila, this curse, and there is no lav. So perhaps what you have to interpret I don't know Arabic, so I can't check in the original Hebrew. But it could be what all the Rama meant to say was that sometimes you have a pasuk, let's say, kol tzipa tohera tochelu. So is that a kiyum mitzvah? You have to do once a day, every day, you have to have some kosher chicken. You have to have kosher chicken once a day, every day. No. The Rambam listed as one of the mitzvahs called tzipa tochel. Means it's an iser aseh. If you eat non-kosher birds, if you eat an eagle, so then you're over, it's an iser aseh. Sometimes there's a kiyum aseh. You have to leg tefillin, you have to recite kriyashma, you have to put on tzitzit on the four-corner garment. That's a kiyum aseh. Once in a while you have an iser aseh. Once in a while you have a pasuk that's both a kiyum aseh and an iser aseh. That was Rav Soloveitchik's introductory shiur to Maseches Psochim. He spoke about the essay of Ach B'Yom HaRishon Tashbisu. Yom HaRishon means Erev Pesach. The Gemara has a tradition, Ach B'Yom HaRishon Tashbisu. Tashbisu is a kiyum aseh, you mekayim my mitzvah by destroying the last bit of chametz. Or is it an iser aseh that you shouldn't have chametz in your possession after chatzos? Is there a kiyum aseh and iser aseh? He gave rise that is both. Sometimes you have a pasuk about a kiyum aseh and an iser aseh. Let's say there's a mitzvah to sit in sukkah. So that's a mitzvah, I say. Every time you sit in the sukkah, let's say you went to work, a chalamoid, you come back to eat in the sukkah, so you say a bracha, leishet basukkah. You only say a bracha when you're doing a kiyum mitzvah, kiyum say. And the Mishnah Brura has a machlokes achreinim from the Bikur Yankov. Bikur Yankov is the first sefer that Rabbi Yankov Etlinger wrote. And it's a running commentary on Hilchas Sukkah, and Hilchas Dalad Minim. And then he wrote the other Svarim, he wrote the Aruch Laner, and he wrote the Truvis, Binyan Zion. So in the Bikur Yankiv, he quotes a Machloike Sachrainim, is there an Isar Asay to eat or to sleep Chutz L'Sukkah? Well, there's no Isar Asay, it's a Bitla Mitzvah. You're not allowed to be Mabat L'Mitzvah. The Main Afkemina, whether it's a Isar Asay, or it's a bit la mitzvah nafkamina is for oinen, mishemes mutal lefonov. So there's a din, and oinen is not allowed to do any mitzvahs. And oinen is not allowed to, Tosfos quotes, Tosfos and mishemes perik and brachas, perik mishemes mutal lefonov. And the first daf in mishemes, the Tosfos quotes from the Yerushalmi, it's learned that from a pasuk, and the Achronim say it's only intended as an asmacht, it's not a real din deraisa. That in oinen, Rav Soloveitchik thought that that's a poor definition. It's not really oinen. Oinen, it says, la'achalta bi'oinen imenu, and oinen is not allowed to eat ma'aser sheni, and the kavachim is not allowed to eat kochim. So that din oinen deraisa, that's even after the kfura, the whole day. And there's one opinion, even the night following the kfura, also awesome in atorim. Shaila, how far it goes. That's a real din of oinen. But this din is a din mederabbanan, b'shemesim mutalafanov. In Yeridei it says Hilchas Aninus. So when we, Rav Soloveitchik gave Shir on Hilchas Aveilus, Hilchas Aninus, he said that's a misnomer. She really say Hilchas Mishemesim Mutalafonah. They're not the same. Oinen is even after the Kvura, even the night after he has a din of Aninus. Discussion whether the Raisa Rabbanan. Over here, it's not a din of Aninus, it's a din Mishemesim Mutalafonah. It's not the same din. So the din is that pasuk that Tosfos quotes from the Yerushalmi, that in oinen, mishemes mutalafon, not allowed to fulfill mitzvahs, that's only an asmachta mederabbanan. And mederabbanan, they only declare that he's not allowed to do mitzvahs. He's not allowed to do averus either. Let's say mishemes mutalafonav, he's going to eat chazah, he's going to talk lashon hara, he's going to cheat in business. You're not allowed to do averus. Just you're not allowed to do mitzvahs, but you're not allowed to do averus either. So that's the question. Let's say the oinen is hungry, so he eats a sandwich. When he finishes eating, normally he would recite Birchas HaMazon. But he's an aninus, he's not allowed to recite Birchas HaMazon. What about, does he say Hamoitzi Lechem Menor? Does he say a bracha? He's thirsty, so he wants a drink. So he's going to have a cup of coffee. So does he say Shahakol? So that's a machloike. So Ruba de Ruba, 99% of the poskim hold that Birchas HaNenen is a mitzvah in the Rabbonim. You don't start off, doesn't start off as an issa. It starts off as a mitzvah mid the rabbana to recite Birchas HaNenen. And if you didn't say the bracha, so you are mevatel a mitzvah. The Chachamim presented it in the Gemara as if it's an issa, but it really didn't mean that. And then there's a minority opinion from all the Rishonim that there were. One of the Balei HaTosis in the Kolbo, he says, no, it's an Iser. Starts off at an Iser. So the Oinen is not permitted to eat any food without saying a bracha. Also, the Oinen is not allowed to do mitzvah, but he's not allowed to do Averis either. So he has to recite the bracha. But we don't, that Ashita has not been accepted, not even quoted in Shulchan Aruch. They don't even give an honorable mention. We don't pass them like that. We pass them that the Oinen does not say Birchas Hanenim because it doesn't start off as an Issa, it starts off as a mitzvah. And if you eat the food without reciting a bracha, you have failed to fulfill the mitzvah. So that's the Bikurei Yankit, Rabbi Yankit Etlengren, Hilchas Sukkah, quotes in Mishnah Berurah, quotes it from the Bikurei Yankit. He quotes the Machlokes Achronim. What about eating chutz l'sukkah? Eating chutz l'sukkah is an aveira. It's an iser asei. What do you say? No, you're mevatel a mitzvah asei. There's a mitzvah to eat in the sukkah. And if you're going to eat chutz l'sukkah, achilas kebab, you're going to eat chutz l'sukkah, you're mevatel a mitzvah, but not that you violated an aveira. The difference is, what about an oinen? Do you say he has to eat in the sukkah, but he should not say a bracha? Because you only say a bracha when you do something to fulfill the kiyum mitzvah. When you shave with an electric shave, you don't say Asher Kedushan B'mitzvah V'tzvanu Sholol Galech B'tar. Or you go to a kosher restaurant and you eat kosher food, you don't say Abracha Asher Kedushan B'mitzvah V'tzvanu Sholol Lechol Macholos Asuras. That's what the Rosh raises the question. How come under the chuppah we recite the Birch HaSeis Asher Kedushan B'mitzvah V'tzvanu Al Harayis? What do you mean? I'm marrying a girl who's permitted. You don't say Abracha when you're doing something that's not prohibited. You say bracha when you're doing a mitzvah. If you would have said shekadoshon savsvano kadesh so isha, but we don't say that. Some rishonim said that as a separate bracha. We don't follow that opinion. We don't say a separate bracha. Those were quotes. Some baleata said shekadoshon savsvano kadesh so isha, and then they said savsvano al harayis vasalana sarusas. That's what the Rosh asks. So the Rosh understands from this that the birchas harisan is only a birchas shevach vahidor. It's not a birchas hamitzvah at all. Even though you start off as shekher shana b'mitzvah v'tzivanu, we're not, because he's saying v'tzivanu al ha'arayas. That's not a mitzvah saseh. You only say bracha when you're about to fulfill a mitzvah saseh. So that's the machlekes achreinim, whether eating chutz l'sukkah is an iser asei. Oh no, it's not an iser. If it's an iser asei, the da'inan has to eat in the sukkah. But he shouldn't say a bracha because he's not in fulfillment of a mitzvah. Well, let's say the oinen is hungry. Oinen is hungry, wants to eat a sandwich. So he eats the bread, but he doesn't say hamaitzi. Does he have to wash netilas yadayim? So washing netilas yadayim is a mitzvah midrabban, and that's why you say a bracha. Shekadishana b'mitzvah yisabitzimano al netilas yadayim. Is there an iser involved also? There's an iser to eat midrabban. There's an iser to eat bread without netilas yadayim. So the oinen who wants to eat bread has to wash netilas yadayim without saying a bracha. That's what the chidos says. That's what the first page in Hilchas Aninus, but they have later in the end of Chelek Gimel Yeridayim. So they quote the chido. That the oinen who wants to eat bread has to wash netilas yadayim b'li bracha. You only say a bracha on netilas yadayim when you're interested in fulfilling the mitzvah. He's not allowed to do it as a mitzvah. He has to wash netilas yadayim in order not to violate the isa, the rabbanim, of eating bread, shalom ruchutz yadayim, shalom bin netilas yadayim. So in order to avoid violation of an aveir, when you shave with an electric shave, you don't say a bracha. Sheikh Zamtana, shalom legaleach bitar. So that's a machloike sachrani, where the yeshiva besukkah is a kiyum mitzvah only, that's why you say bracha. He's saying, no, there's an iser essay as well. There's a famous Minchas Chinuch, has a teretz on Tosis Kasha, and Sukkah and Daf Tesam and Aleph, Tosis Yeste Kasha. The Gemara learns that from the Pasuk, Chag HaSukkah Stase Lecho, Prat LeSukkah Gzulo. Mishalcho, the Sukkah has to belong to you. If he stole someone else's Sukkah, then it's no good. You're not yet to the mitzvah. So Taisa asked the Kasha, what do you need a pasuk that Sukkah Gzula is no good? It's like a mitzvah ba'aveira, like a lulabah gozul. It's no good mitzvah ba'aveira. So what do you need a pasuk? Chag Sukkah Tasaloch, Mishaloch, Lemut Gzula. it's no good because of the din of mitzvah b'baver. So Tosfos answers, mitzvah b'baver is only made the rabbanon, but sukkah gzula, lulav agazel is only the rabbanon that you're not yotze. But sukkah gzula, that's a pasuk that it's no good. That's min haTorah, it's no good. So the Minchas Chinuch suggests the famous answer that's very questionable. Minchas Chinuch says, if you would only say that it's a mitzvah bo ba'aveira, then it means that you're not yotze the mitzvah b'shiva b'sukkah. But he didn't eat chutz l'sukkah. He didn't violate the iser of eating chutz l'sukkah. The sukkah was kosher. He's not yotze the mitzvah, but he didn't violate the iser. But now that the pasuk is the sukkah gzula, is a psula and the chefze, so he's in violation of the iser essay also. So the Minchas Chinuch, in suggesting this teretz on Tosfos kasha, he gave a different answer from Tosfos. So he's assuming, like those achrayim, that in sukkah there's both a kiyum mitzvah, the sukkah teshuv shios yamim, there's a kiyum essay and there's an iser essay. There's a kiyum essay and iser essay. Rabbi Yosef Engel and Asun Deraisa raised the issue: who says that there's an iser essay? There's only a kiyum essay. There's no iser essay. That's a famous issue. So getting back again, the Lech HaMishnah in Hilchas Sanhedrin, when the Rambam says, the Rambam gives you a whole list, how many lavim are there? Shin Samachay, 365 lavim. So from the 365 lavim, many of them you don't get malchus. So how many do you get malchus? So the Rambam tells you a mnemonic device. He says, Gematria of Zar, I think, Reish Zayin, 207. Out of the 365 Laban, only 207 get Malkus. And he gives all the rules and regulations, Lab Shema Maisa, Zain Aloika, and so on. So the Rambam gives you all the rules. So the Lech HaMishnah there, on that Rambam, in Hilchas Sanhedrin, the Lech HaMishnah quotes this Pirush HaMishnah Islah Rambam, that whenever the Pasuk has Koreis, the Yodua that there must be a lav. There's no oinish, of course, if you didn't violate a lav. So he asked the kasha, it's not true. Pesach Amilo, there's kores, and there is no lav. So the Pashta says the Raman didn't mean to say it's a lav as opposed to an eser. It means it's an iser. An iser. When the Torah says you have to have a bris milo, you have to bring a korban pesach. And if you don't take care of the bris milo, you don't take care of the korban pesach, you chayv kores. There's a punishment, of course, for failing to fulfill a mitzvah. It's hard to understand. So that's what the Rambam is driving at in the Pirush HaMishnah is. It must be that in addition to bringing a Korban Pesach as a kiyum essay, there's an iser essay. Whoever doesn't bring the Korban Pesach is zoyver an iser. You're not loike because it's a lab shem bo maisa, but it's an iser essay. So the Rambam says, whenever there's kores, there must be that there's an iser. But it doesn't mean that there's a lav. And it must be that there's an Issa. So that's what there's such a Tosfos and Megillah, I think on Chofim and Beis. A lot of times when someone in Yeshiva makes a bris, so they say, Advai Torah, by the bris, a beautiful practice. So many people say Torah on the same topic that the Gemara in Kiddushin, the end of the first Perek, comments on the Pasuk in Bereshis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructs at the end of Lech Lecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Avraham Avinu the mitzvah, Mila. So it's probably later, when he was Mal Yitzchak Beno. So I think the Lashon is Tzav Oso. Oso velo Oso, that the mother is not Mechuyev and Mila Sadben. Only the father is Mechuyev. The mother doesn't have an obligation to take care of the Bris Mila on the son. So Tosfos says to Kasha, you can only do a bris mila bayom, so let it be a mitzvah sasesha as my grandma's. I would have known that the mother is potter anyway. Why do I need a pasuk bayom tzav oso below oso, that the mothers are potter, the women are potter from the mitzvah mila sabain? I would have known that they're potter because it's a mitzvah sasesha as my grandma. That's Tosfos Kasha. So Tosfos and Megillah comes to answer that kasha. So the answer, since there's kores by bris milah, Tosis says, the truth of the matter is only chorus if the child grows up and the father never did the bris, and no one did the bris on the child, and he's already after bar mitzvah, between the age of bar mitzvah and the age of 20, the Bezon Shel Maila doesn't punish. That's how the Gemara says. Bezon Shel Mata punishes from the age of bar mitzvah, bas mitzvah, and Bezon Shel Maila only punishes from the age of 20. Usually the personality begins to be formed the age of 12 or 13 by a boy and by a girl, and then it's fully formed by the age of 20. So that's why you don't drift into the army till the age of 20. That's Rashi in the beginning, Chumash Bamidbar. You don't drift Kol Yetzir Tzavah B'Yisrael. You only drift in the army when the age of 20, when they're when the personality is formed. He's now they say, the psychologists say it's the age of 24 now. It used to be younger, and there's a Yeridus HaDeres, now it's 24. But at least Bizma Matan Torah, that's the Gemara said, Bezon Shel Maila. Bezon Gemara has it many places. Here they quote the Chacham Tzvi on the side of the page here in the Shulchan. They quote the Tshuvas Chacham Tzvi. Doesn't like that Gemara. He quotes one Gemara, that the Gemara says, Bezon Shel Maila doesn't punish any Aver that you did before the age of 20. And he says, we shouldn't accept that, because let's say a child is bar mitzvah and he does malach on Shabbos b'shogeg. So you only bring a korban chatas if it's done a koris. So there's no koris before the age of 20. So you don't bring a chatas until you're 20 years old. It's against the Gemara. The Gemara says b'feirish. If the kid becomes bar mitzvah in the middle of Shabbos and he's machal Shabbos b'shogeg the second half of the day, the Gemara says in Yibamas that he's chayv chatas. So he's not 20. So the Chacham Tzvi says that's a mistake in the Medrash. But the other Achanim say it can't be a mistake. It appears in 100 different Midrashim. It appears in Gemaras all over the place, not one isolated Maimach HaZal. So the answer that they give is the Avera has to be Kobes Dovish has done a Koris. It doesn't mean that I would have been Chayv Koris. I'm only 13. I'm not yet 20. So I wouldn't be Chayv Koris anyway, even if I would have done it amazing. But the Avera that I violated is an Avera Sheyesh Bo Koris. It doesn't have to be that I would have been Chayv Koris. So anyway, so again, so if the child becomes bar mitzvah, or he reaches 20 and he doesn't take care of his own bris milah, then he's going to be chayv koris. The father is never chayv koris for not taking care of the bris of his son. But that's what Tosfos suggests. Maybe since there sometimes is koris by bris milah, namely, the child doesn't take care of his own bris milah, he's chayv koris. So maybe women are mechuyev, even though it's a mitzvah saseh she'as ma groma. Why? I need a pasuk, tzavosa, osa velo osa, because I would have thought that here it's an exception to the rule. Even though women are exempt, women are normally exempt from a mitzvah seser shas my grandma, but if there's chorus, I would have thought differently. That's what the Sfasemis also says. You learn psochem daf tzadik, so there's all discussion whether women, noshem berishon chayva, or noshem berishon rishus, on Pesach Rishon. The women, are the women b'chuyiv to bring a korban Pesach, or is it optional? If they don't want it, they don't have to. So what would have thought, what's the svara hachitzayna? If you don't have any gzeres hakosav in one direction or the other, what would you have said? That's called the svara hachitzayna. So the pashtus says, it's a mitzvah says such as my grandma, women should be butter. So the one who wants to say the women are b'chuyiv, the burden of proof should be on him. You read the sugya, so the svasamis points out, the premise in the Gemara is the opposite. That the Svara Chitzayin is that the women are mechuyev to bring Pesach Rishon, and the one who wants to argue women are potter, the burden of proof is on him. Why the burden of proof should be faket? Svara Chitzayin should have been that women are potter, because Korban Pesach in the mitzvah says Hashem as grama. So that's what the Sfasem says. By Korban Pesach, the one who doesn't bring the Korban Pesach is Chayv Koris. So whatever this Koris, you don't say women are potter from mitzvah seses at my grammar. They're not potter from aloy seses as my grammar. Isa malocha on Shabbos. The women are mechuyev because kiddush is connected with isa malocha. Kol sheyeshnem b'shamer, yeshnem b'zocher, zocher b'shamer b'dibur echad nemru. So if you have a pasuk that has the first half and the second half, that's called a hekesh. What if you have two psukim that are kodesh brocha said both simultaneously? It's not the first step of the pasuk and the second half. One was superimposed on the other. Kadosh Baruch Hu said Zochar V'Shamar simultaneously, so that for sure is a hekesh. The Gemara says Kol Sheyesh Neshamar, Since the women are mechuyev in the loisese of Shabbos, shomer is a shomer pen v'yal. Shomer is a loisese and not to do malacha. So therefore, they're mechuyev in the essay, even though kiddush is his magrom. It's an exception to the rule. It says magrom and oshem apturis. So, not only are women mechuyev in a loisese shas magrom, if you have an iser asay, shas magrom also women are mechuyev. Have an Isser Asay. But sometimes it's hard to tell whether something is an Isser Asay or a Kiyam Asay. So the Gemara says, whenever this Kares, that's a Gemara, whenever this Kares, that's an indication that it's an Isser Asay. If there's no Kares, then there's no indication. So that's what the Svasem suggests. The Svarach Itzayna in the Sugyam Psochem Dav Tzadik is that the women are Mechuyev in Pesach Rishon, even though it should be as Magrama. Because it's an essay that has kares, so it's not only is it a kiyum essay when you bring the korban pesach you recite a bracha. When you eat the korban pesach you recite a bracha. It's a mitzvah, but it's also an iser essay. If it wouldn't be an iser essay, there wouldn't be any kares. The fact that there's kares shows that there's an iser essay. So an iser essay is the same as a lav, as man grama women. Amuchuyev in a lav. There are only mitzvahs asay shaman grama. Akiyam asay, the women are potem. Aneser asay na. So that's what Tosis and Megillah suggest. Maybe that's the teretz. Why do they need a pasuk? Oh, so below, oh, so that the mothers are not mechuyev and milus habein. Wouldn't I know on my own that the women are potem because it's a mitzvah asay shahazman grama? So the Tosis in Kiddush and Daf Chabtes gives a different answer. And the Ritvor gives a different answer, different. Various answers are given. And the Tosfos and Megillah, Daf Chav, gives this answer. He says that since there is chorus, there's never chorus on the parent. There's never chorus on the father for not doing bris milah on the son. But since there would be chorus on the child when he grows up if he doesn't take care of his own milah, so that shows that there is an iser esse involved. So that's what Tosfos says with a stretch. Maybe even by the parent, even though there's never chorus by the parent, maybe the obligation of the parent to take care of the bris milah is not only a kiyum essay, maybe it's an iser essay as well. So I would have thought that women should be mechuyev. So that's why I need a pasuk. Oso, velo oso. Yeah, the Minchas Chinuch raises this question. Usually there's a difference in Yoredeya. Usually there's a difference between to what extent is one obligated to strain himself to fulfill mitzvahs. So when it comes to an essay, a mitzvah essay, we say, HaMevazim is all Yevazim is Yaisi Michomesh. You're not obligated to spend more than one-fifth of your total savings in order to fulfill a mitzvah. When it comes to a lois essay, you're mechuyev to spend kol hoin beiso. Mechuyev to spend your last penny up until the point of putting your life into safek sakana. If you're going to spend so much money to get a lulav and an esrig, and you won't have any money to buy food or to pay your rent, and you may be homeless, and it's a suffix sakana, somebody may kill you, you may die. So then you're not mechuyev. But when it comes to loy says, you're mechuyev to spend kol haim beiso. There is no limitation of that's only a mitzvah, I say. So the Minchas Chinuch raises a question, maybe by Pesach and Milah, even though it's a mitzvah, I say, but maybe since there's chorus involved, so maybe you're mechuyev to spend kol haim beiso. That's along the same lines that this Pirush HaMishnayos like Rambam and Makkos, that whenever you have chorus, it indicates that there's an iser asay. So that's how the Shulchan Aruch starts off. There is a mitzvah on the father. Mother is not mechuyev. It's on the father to see to it that he does the bris on his son. That's a question. Let's say there's a mitzvah that I should put on tefillin. So I have to put on tefillin on my arm. Someone else, let's say I am so weak, I can't even pick up the tongue. So someone else puts the tefillin on my arm, I'm yotze. That's how they ask you, do me a favor. You put on tefillin on my arm, you'll be, put on tefillin on your arm, and you'll be my shliach. So the Rishonim say there's no shlichas on a mitzvah shebegufo. You have to put the tefillin on my arm. It doesn't help you put on your arm. I ask you, eat another kezayis of matzah leil hased, and you'll be moitzi me. It doesn't help. So mitzvah shepaguf, it doesn't help. So that's a question over here. The Pischei Tshuva quotes that discussion. And Reish Samach Sivkot and Beis. he discusses is the mitzvah of Milas HaBein. It's a mitzvah the father should actually perform the bris milah himself. And if he calls a moel, and the moel does it, then the father isn't yotze his mitzvah. He wasn't yotze. Or they say, no, it's not a mitzvah shebeguf, it's a mitzvah. He should take care of it. Mitzvah bo yosem b'shlucha would have been nicer that he would have done it himself. But if he arranged, he called up the moel and he's got to pay him a salary. So maybe since he made him a shliach, like he can make a shliach for bedikas chometz, he can make a shliach to make a makkah around the... There's some things that he can't do with the shliach. So that's the question over here. Yeah, he, the context that the Pischei Tshuva raises over here is like this. The Gemara has in Bava Kama, Daf Tzadik Amud Beis, another place that the Gemara has, if I steal a mitzvah from you, there's a penalty of Rabbi Gamaliel, I have to pay Asorah Zehuvim. Who is stealing a mitzvah from someone else? What mitzvah did I steal? So the Gemara gives an example. When you shecht chai v'yof, there's a mitzvah to do kisui hadam. And the Gemara learns out from the pasuk, Mishu shachat hu yechasa. The first cracker doing the first schus to do the kisui hadam is to the one who did the shechita. So let's say I shecht the chicken, and then I'm about to do the kisui hadam, but someone else runs in, he does the kisui hadam. He stole the mitzvah from me. So the Gemara says they make him pay a penalty of Asorah Zehuvim. We don't collect it bizman hazeh because it's a knas, and we only say shlichusayu. We don't have any smuchim or bezn smuchim. So you only allow shlichusayu. The rabbonim today don't really have smicha. It's all imitation smicha. So that's shlichusayu. So only say shlichusayu. Al milso d'shchicha v'iz bechisarin kis. But if someone owes me a penalty of Asara Zehuvim because he stole a mitzvah, that's not called a chisarin kis. If somebody crashes into my car, that's chisarin kis. So then the bezin can be done. Didi mamanis, automamazik has to pay. But to pay for that now. The Gemara says, let's say, for the annual dinner, so the Amechabed, one of the balabatim, he should bench mezumen at the end of the dinner. So another guy runs up, grabs the mic, and he said, Rabbi Sayin of Arech. And everybody answers, they didn't realize they weren't mechabed the other guy, they mechabed the first guy. So the Gemara says, in such a case, he stole the bench of mezumen, he stole four brachas from the other one. So he pays 40 zehuvim, he pays 10 zehuvim for each bracha that he stole. You don't say it's one big mitzvah, asar zehuvim, he pays, since there are four brachas, the Gemara says that you pay, that's in Perek Kisei Adam, in Chulin. Just like if I steal a Kisei Adam from someone, I pay asar zehuvim. So if you stole the mitzvah of benching mezumen, you have to pay 40 zehuvim. So that's the shaila over here. The father, I had three sons. I didn't do any of the business. I had a moel do it. So if someone, I called the moel. So someone comes to the business, they say, I'm not going to do the business. Say, the fellow is a moel. See, this is not the one that I asked to do the bris milah. He runs up and he does the bris milah. So does he have to pay me asorah zehuvim or not? So if the shach holds, shach at the end of Choshen Mishpat, the very end of Choshen Mishpat, they have this din the rabbanon that Rabbi Gamliel penalized the one who stole the mitzvah of someone else, he pay asorah zehuvim. So the shach holds over there that milah is considered a mitzvah shebegufo. If the father doesn't do it himself, if he calls the moel does on his behalf, father's not yotze the mitzvah. So if the father's not yotze the mitzvah anyway, so someone else grabs the mitzvah from the father. He's not stealing from the father. The father didn't plan to do the mitzvah anyway. But if you say that it's not a mitzvah shebegufo, he arranged to have the bris taken care of, and then the moel that he picked is doing it on his behalf, then a different guy steals the mitzvah. So the mitzvah wasn't taken care of by me. I asked a different person, and a different person did the bris. So then he stole the mitzvah from me. So that's what the Pischei Tshuva discusses. Reish Samach of Cut and Base. Is that really correct what the Shach writes? That Bris Milah of B'chuyev Lomel Az Beno, that's Reish Samach, the father has a chiv, that's a mitzvah shebegufo. So I would have thought it's not a mitzvah shebegufo. I would have thought that's a mitzvah that the father should arrange, that the Bris should be taken care of. Yeah, then in Reish Samach Aleph, Shulchan Aruch quotes the Gemara Kiddushin towards the end of the first perek that the father has a mitzvah to do the bris milah. The father doesn't do, then the bezin should see to it that the baby should have her pissed. If the bezin was negligent, then Kol Adam Yisrael has an obligation to see to it that they do a bris milah. And if no one took care of it and the child becomes bat mitzvah, then the child is mechuyev to see to it that he does his own bris milah. So that's a brisa in the Gemara in Kiddushin after Daf Chav Tes. Daf Chav Tes, the Mishnah says the father is mechuyev to do the bris milah for his son and to do the pidyon haben. So by pidyon haben, the Gemara says the father has an obligation to do pidyon haben. If he doesn't do pidyon haben, then when the child becomes bat mitzvah, he has to do his own pidyon haben. How come they left out the other two stages? They should have said, if the father doesn't do, then the bezin should do pidyon haben. Bezin doesn't do, should call Yisrael, call Adam Yisrael, should do the pidyon haben. And if not, then when the bechor becomes bat mitzvah, he has to take care of his own pidyon haben. So in Hilchas pidyon haben, the Rivosh is quoted, the Ramah quotes the Rivosh. Rivosh was a contemporary of the Ran. They say Reb Chizdoy Kreskes was the God Lador in that generation. Chizdoy Kreskes, once in a while the Shittim Kobetz has quote something Reb Chizdoy Kreskes. What we know is he wrote a book on Hashkafe that's called Or Hashem. But we don't have too much in Halach, but they say he was the God Lador. So the Rivosh has this diuk that you see from the Brisa. He claims that they're both one long Brisa. The two middle stages, that if the father didn't take care of the bris, the bezin should take care. Bezin didn't take care of Kol Adam Yisrael, and if not, then the kid, when he grows older, should do. So by pidyon haben, you're missing the two in the middle. Just as the father should do pidyon haben, or when the child becomes older, the child himself should do his own pidyon haben. So that's the Rivosh came up with the Chiddush. You can't have someone else do pidyon haben. Either the father or the child himself. Bris milah, anybody can do. So if the father didn't take care, Bezin should take care. Bezin didn't take care, Kol Adam Yisrael. But by pidyon haben, that's his chiddush. No one else can do pidyon haben. The minig is not like the Rivosh. The Ramah quotes the Rivosh. No one else can do pidyon haben. And the Shach, Tainas, what are you talking about? You never heard of Parech Ovin Shel Chaveiroi? Let's say Reuben owes Shimon $1,000. And a good Samaritan comes over, he knows that Reuben doesn't have any money. So a friend comes over and he pays the money to Shimon. So the Mishnah is having the end of Ksubis, the last parak. Aperech Chovish HaChavera, the Chov is Perua. So why should he say by Pidyon HaBen that no one else can pay? It's like Perech Chovish HaChavera, that's the Shach's Kash. So the Bi'ur HaGra on the whole of Shulchan Aruch just gives Mar Mekayimus. And once in a while, when he doesn't like what it says, he says, ayin. So there, on that din, that no one, when the Ramah quotes the Rivosh, that no one else can do pidyon haben, so the Bi'ur HaGra writes, ayin shach. Look on the shach, disagrees. He thinks the shach is right. And in Lithuania, that was the practice. When a child would be a yosem, on the 31st day, there was no father to do the pidyon haben. No, the father was in the army, and he couldn't, there's no telephone, there's no way to tell him that his wife had a baby boy. He has to do pidyon haben. So the bezin used to do the pidyon haben. He used to say a bracha al pidyon haben. And in Hungary and Galicia, they followed the Chasam Sofer. In Lithuania, they didn't always follow the Chasam Sofer. Hungary, they felt the Chasam Sofer was the greatest gadol. You used to say the Vilna Gaon is very great, almost as great as the Chasam Sofer. That's how the Hungarians sized everything up. So in Hungary and Galicia, they follow the Chasam Sofer. Then when it comes Yom Lamed Aleph, and there's no father, either the father is a goy, or that happens sometimes, the father is a goy, or the father's not alive, or the father's in the army, he's not available. So they would do a pidyon haben b'li bracha, and then when the child would become bat mitzvah, he would repeat again a pidyon haben b'li bracha. They'd do it twice because of the suffix. And in Lithuania, the minig was like the shach and the Bi'ur HaGra, that someone else can do against the Rivosh. Someone else can do the pidyon haben, you say a bracha and shine. Here the Gilya Mar Hashoah, that's Barab Shlomo Eger, he's fantastic. Gilya Mar Hashoah on Shulchan Aruch, also on the Gemara, he's a Mar Mekayimus, always fantastic. So here on Simon Reish Samach, to have on the side. He quotes from the Tshuvas Yad Aliyot. What if the Moel has two business scheduled for the same day? One is a Mila Bismana, one is what must postpone. It's Mila Shaloi Bismana. So which one should he do first? So he says, normally. He says, but a normal person would have said that a Mila Bismana is a mitzvah Bishlei Musa. Mila Shaloi Bismana is a mitzvah Shaloi Bishlei Musa. So whenever you're interested in performing two mitzvahs, you can either do A and then B, or you can do B and then A. So how do you determine what comes first? What's the Seder Kedima? So it's a Mishneh Kol HaTodir in Zvachim Daf Peites. That's the name of the pair. Todah B'Sheina Todah Todah Kodim. Mekudosh V'Eino Mekudosh Mekudosh Kodim. Mekudosh V'Eino Mekudosh means one mitzvah is more important than the other. How do you decide which mitzvah is more important than which? So let's say two Balabatim come to the Beis Hamikdash simultaneously. One brings a kachim kachim, one brings a kachim kalim. So one is more mekudosh than the other. So the kohen who's standing there, he should, if they both came simultaneously, he should do first a mekudosh, and then the ein mekudosh. So the same thing over here. If you have a mitzvah bishlei musa, the mila bizman is a mitzvah bishlei musa. Mila shlei bizman mitzvah shalom bishlei musa. So you should do the mila bishlei musa should be done first. You should do the mila bizmana first, then only later do the mila shalom bizmana. That's what the Reb Shlomo Eger quotes here from the Sefer Yad Aliyot. And that's what many Achrayim agree to that. That's the common practice like that. And then the Dvar Avraham was the last rabbi in Kovna. He died in the Kovna ghetto because the hygienic conditions were terrible. And whenever there would be someone had a sickness, it would be an epidemic. A few hundred people would die. They were all dying before they had a chance to kill them. They would have killed them otherwise. At the end of the day, they killed everybody. So the Dvar Avraham was the last rabbi in Kovna before the war. He was Mebeis HaRav. He was a descendant of Rav Chaim Volozhin. He learned by Rav Chaim Soloveitchik in Volozhin. And he had a lot of, he has respect for Rav Chaim. He has a different style of learning, different style of tshuvas. He corresponds with Rav Chana Vassaman. He has very nice tshuvas. So he has a tshuva in the first chelik of the Dvar Avraham. There were three volumes. The two volumes were printed during the author's lifetime. And the third volume was printed after he died. They say that one of the rabbis, when I was a Talmud in the yeshiva, there was a rabbi, Rabbi Honest. So they say he had learned in Telz. He learned in Telz the yeshiva. He was a very big Talmud Chacham. He had no children. So they say that he was the one who edited the third volume because the Dvar Avraham had a son who lived in New York. And he tried very much to save his parents. In the middle of the war, he couldn't. So they say the son was the one who got Rabbi Arnes to do the work and put out the third volume. Anyway, so in the first volume of the Dvar Avraham, he has a chiddush that's based on the Nodi Bihuda over here. On Erev Pesach, years ago, there used to be a minig that the firstborn fast, Tainus Bechoris, on Erev Pesach. Today, the minig is that nobody fasts. Everybody tries to go to a seer. But basically, the minig disappeared. No longer a minig to fast. So what they do years ago, they didn't think of this. There's a modern Einfly, make a siyum, nobody fasts. So years ago, they would make a bris on Erev Pesach. So in New York, there's always a bris on Erev Pesach. Every day of the year, there's a bris. But let's say you live in Prague. Prague was a big city, but not as big as New York. There wasn't a bris every day. So the Nodi Bihuda writes that it's scandalous. Here he quotes the Pischei Tshuva Reis Samach Beis of Kotten Beis. Quotes this Nodi Bihuda. It's a very short paragraph. Usually Tshuva is Nodi Bihuda, a page or two. This one is only one paragraph, very short. And he said, this is scandalous that they always have a bris on Erev Pesach. How can it be? Whenever there's a bris that has to be postponed a month before Pesach or a couple of months before Pesach, so they postpone it till Erev Pesach to make sure that they're going to have, that no one will have to fast. So he says that's not proper. He says, first of all, who says that that's a Sudas Mitzvah that allows you to eat? Maybe only a Mila Bizmana. Maybe if it's a Mila Shalai Bizmana, maybe it doesn't have the status of a Sudas Mitzvah. And then he says, he's not so convinced that you're allowed to postpone, even though it's a milu shloi bezmana, maybe you're not allowed to postpone it further. Maybe not allowed to postpone it further. He's very upset about that. So that's what the Dvar Avram has a chiddush. He says, if the milu is bezmana, the yom hashmini, so you should really do the bris as early as possible, but ziz magdim le mitzvahs. And if you postpone the bris till after chatzos, that's a violation of ziz magdim le mitzvahs. Here, take a look in Sivkot and Beis, and the Pizchichu Rei Samach Beis, Sivkot and Beis. He quotes the first line. He quotes the Tshuva Shvus Yaakov, that if the chazan knows on Shabbos Yontov that there's a bris, and he's singing away, and he's stalling in the davening, and he's going to cause that the bris, they always did the bris before Aleinu. The minig always was, you do a bris milah at the end of the davening before Aleinu. It's Aleinu l'shabech, Adonai kol, that we are different from the Yom HaSolem, we perform a bris milah. On Rosh Hashanah, they quote in the Shulchan Aruch, the Aruch sent a tshuva to Rashi. I don't know, they live at the same time, that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Rashi sent a shada to the Aruch. How did Rashi know the Aruch existed? I don't know. Rashi quotes the Aruch. I don't know. So Rashi sent a shada to the Aruch. When you have a bris on Rosh Hashanah, when do you do the bris? So the Aruch answered, right before Tkiyah Shofar. Manashtana, why should you do before Tkiyah Shofar? Do before Aleinu. So the Prima Gaonim explains, because we all know that on Rosh Hashanah, they say so many piyutim, they're not going to get to say Aleinu, they only say Aleinu after Musa. Not going to get to Aleinu until after Chatzos. That's a violation of Zviz Magdim LeMitzvahs. Zviz Magdim should be at the crack of dawn. You should do the bris as early as possible. And if not as early as possible, it should be before Chatzos. But if you do the bris after Chatzos, that's a violation of Zviz Magdim. So that's what the Nerd Yehuda is upset. Why they would postpone it. Whenever there would be a milu shaloi bezmana, a month or two before Pesach, they would save the bris to Lev Pesach, so no one would have to bris. He thinks that that's not right. So the Dvar Avram says, he thinks you're over b'chol rega. If you have a bris, a milu bezmana, so you should really do it early in the morning. If you didn't do it early in the morning, you should make sure you do it before Chatzos. And if you do it after Chatzos, you violated Zviz Magdimim, but you're still, up until the Shkia, it's still called Milu Bezmana. It's still the Mekayim the Din of Milu Bezmana. But if it's a Milu Shaloi Bezmana, so then the Dvar Avram is Mechadish based on that, not the Yehuda, you're over b'chol rega. If you have the ability to perform the bris, sometimes the baby is not well, that's what it has over here, in Reish Samach Beis, Siv Beis. The baby is not well, you postpone the bris. Remember once, one of the babies, years ago, one of the Rebbe's and Yeshiva's wife had a baby, and the baby wasn't well. And then 3 o'clock in the afternoon, they said the baby is okay. So sometimes you have to wait till next week, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, a whole week. And sometimes you don't. So he had the bris right away, 3 o'clock. He had the bris. And then he got a caterer to make the suda hours later at night. But you don't wait till the caterer is ready. You shouldn't even postpone it. He was a Rebbe in the Yeshiva, and he knew this, Dvar Avram. His father was a Rebbe in Yeshiva also. So he knew the Dvar Avram, that it could be that you're over b'chol rega. So that's what the Dvar Avram thinks. If the Moel has two milas, two brisen on the same day, one is bismana, one is shalai bismana. So the mila bismana, whenever you're going to do it in the course of the day, it'll just be an issue of zviz magdim. But even if you do it a minute before shkia, you fulfill the dinner of mila bismana. But a mila shalai bismana, if you postponed it, then the first moment that you're able to do the mitzvah, bris, you should do it. You shouldn't postpone even rega. So he thinks, that Ravram thinks, that if you have a milu bezmana, milu shaloi bezmana, you should do the milu shaloi bezmana first. And then do the milu bezmana later. Because the milu bezmana is just an issue of zviz magdimen. Milu shaloi bezmana could be that it's a bitl mitzvah. If you postpone, it's not going to be biyom hashmini. So a little bit you have to wait because the baby is not well. But once a doctor said the baby is fine, and then sometimes you have to wait 7 days, sometimes not. If you don't have to wait, then you have to do it right away. So they quote from the Chazon Ish, even though the Dvar Avram had a strong taina, but his opinion was not accepted. And the Minhag HaOlam is like Rav Shlomo Eger quoted from there. Yad Elio is a Sfardish Paisik. Uh, the Mishnah in the Gila has, there are certain mitzvahs they can only do by Yom, certain mitzvahs they can only do by Laila. You shake the lulav, has to be by Yom. Tkiyah Shef has to be by Yom. Sfir Saimer is a machlokes, but it has to be Davka by Laila or not. Matzah has to be Vachlos Abosa by Laila, Azek, or Pesach is by Laila. So there it says, Dovish Mitzvah by Yom, Kosher Kol Ayom. But lechatchila, you shouldn't do the mitzvah bayom until after Hanetzach Hama. That's the first line of Reis Samach Beis. But if you did the mitzvah after Alos HaShachar, then the Ramah says a yotzeh. That's the Mishnah, the Mishnah and Megillah. So the what's the reason why lechatchila you should wait till after Hanetzach Hama? So that's a question whether that's a lechatchila the Reis or the Rabbanan. The Rashi and the Mishnah Megillah says that it's only a din de Rabbanan. If you'll allow here, the Vilna Gaon says a Mishnah Megillah Chofa Min Aleph. So Rashi says it's a din de Rabbanan. If you'll allow people to do the mitzvah before Hanetzach Hama, they may do it so early, they may by mistake do it before Alos HaShachar. Then it'll be a bracha levatole, there won't be Yotzei. So Rashi says it's only the Rabbanan. Rav Soloveitchik was fond of saying over the other Shita, he never said who the other Shita is. So the other Shita, if you look in the Yerushalmi that was printed in Vilna, now there's so many other Yerushalmis. When I got married, that was the only Yerushalmi that was available, the Vilna edition of the Yerushalmi. So the Yerushalmi and Brachas has on the bottom of the page a commentary from the author of the Sefer Charedim. Sefer Charedim was a late Rishon, early Akron, same time as Rabbi Yosef Karo, about that period. So he suggests that it could be a din d'oraisa. So Rav Soloveitchik was fond of saying over that possibility, that this lechatchila, that you shouldn't do a mitzvah, which is matar b'yom before Hanetzach Hama, could be it's a lechatchila d'oraisa, because there are two dinim in yom. There's one din of yom when the sun is shining, and one din of yom when there's light outside. So in between Alos HaShachar and Hanetzach Hama, there is light outside, but the sun is not yet shining. So it doesn't have the full din yom. So maybe it's a lechatchila d'oraisa not to do the mitzvah before Hanetzach Hama. You want to have the full din yom. So Rav Soloveitchik liked that idea. It could be not like Rashi, it could be lechatchila d'oraisa. So they quote a little over 100 years ago, Rav Shmuel Salant was the rabbi in Yerushalayim. He was getting old. He lived to a very old age. So when he was getting old, so he said they should appoint a new rabbi. He's not going to live forever. So there was a whole pilpul, whom should they invite from Europe to be the new Rav of Yerushalayim for the Eda Charedis, from the Ashkenazim. The Sfardim always had rabbanim for the Ashkenazim. So there was talk. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik thought that they should give Rabbi Itzel a Ponevision. He thought he was the biggest Baal Mechadish. He thought that they had enough poskim. And whenever Rabbanim would retire, like the Torah's Chesed, so whenever Rabbanim would retire, so they would move to Yerushalayim. So they had a lot of Rabbanim who knew how to poskim Shana. Rabbi Chaim thought that they need someone who knows how to say a knockout shear, and he was very impressed. He wanted Rabbi Itzel a Ponevision should become the Rav in Yerushalayim. That didn't work out. So they took the Aderis. That Deris was Rav Kook's first father-in-law. Rav Kook married his daughter, and then she died during the lifetime of Rav Kook and during the lifetime of her own father. So then her father recommended that Rav Kook should marry her cousin, who was the daughter of his brother. So the Aderis was brought there. Aderis was a Rav in Ponevich, that was a Rav in Mir, in Europe. And then they appointed him to be the Rav in Yerushalayim. I think he came 1902 or something. He died in 1906. And then Reb Shmuel Salant was still around after the Aderis passed away. So the Aderis was they quote a lot of Hairos, a lot of Pesachim in him. He had a lot of original ideas. Most of them were not accepted. So this is one of his ideas. He said that this, if you learn like Rashi, that this lechatchila is only the Rabbanan, not to do the bris milah before Hanetzach Hama, so he said it doesn't apply to Zmanas there. Every shul has a clock on the wall, and every other person is wearing a watch on his hand. So what do you mean, exera the Rabbanan? It doesn't apply, the whole concern doesn't apply today. So you can even do lechatchila after Alois HaShachar, before Netzach Am. We usually say Dovish Mimin Yitzach Miyarach HaLatira. Whenever the Chachamim make a Gzera Derabbanan that was made for a certain reason, even if you live in a generation where the reason doesn't apply, the Gzera Derabbanan still applies. So what does he say? Because the Gzera doesn't apply, that's why it wasn't accepted. Why is it? Because the reason doesn't apply, because every other person has a watch and there's a clock, so you're not going to make a mistake. You look in the newspaper, it tells you when Alos HaShachar, when it's on Eitz HaCham, everybody knows. Yeah, so why did he think that it's mutter? See, they don't explain why. I thought because the Mishkan is Yankev has a tshuva that we quote every so often. The first two tshuvas in Chelek Choshe Mishpat and his Sefer Koheles Yankev, he says whenever the Gzera the Rabbanu was Bakira's Dov Ben HaTorah, then they had incorporated the Tama Gzera into the Nusach HaGzera, and then you don't say Dov Shel Minyan. So this din that you're not allowed to do l'chatchila mitzvah shizmana bayom before ha'netzach hamah, this is really in a certain sense bakiras dov min ha'ter. Because there is a din of zviz makdim la mitzvahs. So more correct would be you should do the mitzvah of bris milah first thing at the crack of dawn. First thing you should daven early, and you should do the mitzvah of bris milah very early in the morning. So it's basically Bakira's Dov Min HaTorah, telling the person not to do Zviz Makdim L'Mitzvah so early. Don't do it before HaNetzach Am. So they had incorporated the Tamak Zera into the Nusach HaGzera. Whenever the Tamak Zera was incorporated, then you say that Dov Sheminya doesn't apply. The Chum just say the reason doesn't apply, so the whole Gzera falls apart. But it has not been accepted. That's with the Gdolim and not generation. Rabsi Pesel Frank and the Stechemed. The Chemed quotes this from the Aderis. He says it wasn't accepted. All of his contemporaries thought that it wasn't right. But that's a machlekes, Rashi and the Charedim. Rav Soloveitchik liked always to discuss that possibility. Maybe the Lachatchila is a Lachatchila derais. Not to do the mitzvah before an Eitzach Hamah. Okay, maybe we'll stop here. Tomorrow 12 o'clock is acceptable. Okay. Time for 12 o'clock. Very good.
Is it Baruch Yom the same as the rising of the Rambam and says that B'chol Yom you're five kares, or is that the B'chol Yom like once a day or with Isser and then there